That was a pretty cool video, wasn't it? Yeah. Let us be the hour where we draw swords together, Grove. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Man, I'm acting like Evan today. That's kind of fun. I'm just kidding. Evan, he's not here. He didn't even hear his joke about him. It's okay. Well, how's everyone doing this morning?
Good.
Doing good? Are you awake?
Yeah.
Awesome. Love it. There's like four of us that are awake. It's a good day, good day. Hey, my name is Jesse. I'm the youth and young adults pastor here at The Grove. I'm super excited for the opportunity to continue on in our series called Suit Yourself. And when we talk about the title of Suit Yourself, it's for some clarity here. I'm not talking about, you know, if you're telling someone off, like, well, suit yourself. You know, we're not talking about that. But instead, we're in a series where we're really diving into the armor of God, what it is, how do we actually put it on, and live it out in our daily life. And so we'll be jumping into that today. If you need a place to land in scripture, if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to be a note taker. But you can write down Ephesians chapter 6, because that's where we'll be landing. And right before we jump in, exciting thing, I am pleased to announce that my wife Joy and I are gonna be welcoming a baby boy in March. So that's super exciting. Yeah, it's going to be a great time going from a family of 3 to 4. So pray for us. It's going to be awesome. We're looking forward to it, though. Hey, as we dive into the message today, I want to share a phrase with you that a lot of pastors say as a joke to each other. And it goes something like this. Well, that's not something they teach you in Bible college. And maybe if you're in here, maybe you've been in ministry before, you've been around the church, you kind of know and understand that it can be a little unpredictable what happens on a day-to-day basis. To give you a bit of a picture of what I mean, when I graduated from Northwest University, my first youth ministry role was at a church over in Port Orchard, Washington. Anyone ever been to Port Orchard? You're from there? Right on, that's awesome. Here's what I'll say about Port Orchard. I will take the view of the Sinclair Inlet at sunset over the view of the wastewater treatment plant in Marysville. So that is a hot take. It is prettier, I swear. But I remember, Aaron's like, I'm sorry, man. But I remember going over to that church, brand new out of college, and very quickly I realized within a couple weeks just how much you really can't learn in a classroom setting that you learn when you're actually there present doing ministry. And lots of jobs are like that if we were to think about even our own careers. But I remember specifically my lead pastor, after a little while of being there, said, hey, I want to put you in charge of the church facility team. I was like, okay, so like, what does that entail? And basically, it was a group of guys who were all retired, who had been in the trades or some type of skilled labor for like 40, 50 years of their life. And so what my lead pastor did is he said, hey, 22-year-old youth pastor, who I'll be honest, at that point in my life, not that handy. If a faucet is leaking, I'm like, someone needs to do something about this, right? It's probably not me. And yet he put me in charge of this team of guys. And we'd have random projects like installing like, you know, banners out in front of the church, hanging like these like flags on top of our light poles, like just other random stuff, like cleaning ceiling fans, building different like sets for like a VBS. Yes, like I was in charge of a lot of these types of projects here and there with this team of guys. Now, here was the really cool thing about that time in my life, though, is that they were gracious. They took the young youth pastor under their wing, and they actually taught me quite a bit about how to build things, how to do basic maintenance. And it was a time that I was actually pretty grateful for. And being a homeowner now, I can say that when a faucet is leaking, like usually it is me that fixes it. So praise God, I've come a long way. But I share this today because one of the biggest and best lessons that they taught me was that for any job to be successful, you need the right tools. And if you're in here today and you've worked on a car, maybe you've been in construction, you've done DIY projects at home, you know that a job is significantly easier, faster, will probably cost you less and go a lot better and ultimately be less frustrating if you have the right tools to complete it. Is anyone with me today? You're tracking. So I share this for you and I today. Why? Well, because we're in a series on the armor of God. And what we talked about last week when Pastor Nick set up this series is that we are truly in a spiritual battle. If you're taking notes today, write that down. We are in a spiritual battle. And the reason I share that today is because we as people, we're really good at when we go through a difficult situation, when we're having a conflict, maybe with our spouse, our kids, our coworker, we are really quick to attack the person or the situation and say, they are the problem. And yet what we forget and what we lose sight of is that, well, yes, there's conflict, there's dynamics at play, there's challenging situations we go through. We forget that underneath all of that, there is actually a spiritual battle that is going on. That there is an enemy who doesn't want us to have good relationships, who wants to see our life fail. It's why in Ephesians 6, verse 10, Paul writes this for us. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." You see, Paul understood the truth that we're not waging war against people or situations on this earth. At the end of the day, all of that is temporary, but where our ultimate battle actually lies is with the enemy. The one who is attacking us, the one who wants to see us fail, who wants to destroy our lives and ultimately lead us away from Jesus. And the enemy knows that in moments of conflict, discouragement, whatever else that we encounter in life, that if he can get us to a place where we are angry, bitter, refuse to forgive, become discouraged, that it's significantly easier for him to gain a foothold in our life. So the spiritual realm and the battle we face is a thing that we simply cannot ignore as followers of Jesus. And to fight a spiritual battle, Paul gives us what we know and understand to be the armor of God. Much like you need the right tools for the certain projects or certain jobs, Paul knows that we need the right equipment, the right armor, so that we can be successful in our relationship with Christ and resist the enemy. Different pieces of armor, which we'll read in a moment, include the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the shoes of peace, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation. All of these are things that are needed if you and I are to overcome the devil's scheme. And yet today, as we jump into this message, we're not going to cover every piece of armor, but instead, we're going to cover the one that I believe should be the starting point for all of us in our relationship with the Lord and putting on this armor today. So as we continue reading in Ephesians 6, here's what Paul says. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people." Would you bow your heads with me? Father, today I thank you for the opportunity to gather together, God, to learn more about you, God, to learn more about the armor of God and what that practically means for our lives today. Jesus, I pray that as we go throughout this message, God, that you would speak to every single heart, God, that you would reveal to us more about what you would like us to do when it comes to applying this to our life. And God, today as we dive into the armor and begin the conversation, Father, I pray again that you would lead us into what is true. God, help us to put on the armor and resist the enemy. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So now for the piece of armor that we're going to start with. If you're taking notes, write this down. Begin with the belt. You see, Paul talks about the belt of truth. And this is a belt, brought it from home. How many of you guys know what this belt's function and purpose is? Hold your pants up. Come on, right? It's not. We all know this. Its sole purpose is just to hold your pants up. And oftentimes, when we read a passage about the armor of God and it says, secure the belt of truth, we think, okay, yeah, like, we're talking like one of the reversible belts? Or like a black belt, a brown belt? Like, I don't know, like what kind? And our mind goes to a belt that looks something like this. And yet, let me challenge our perspective for a minute. You see, when Paul is writing, he's writing to a culture that is very familiar with the Roman Empire. They would see Roman soldiers likely guarding gates, patrolling, arresting people. Like, I don't know, I think that's most of what Roman soldiers probably did. And so what Paul is saying, he's saying, hey, when you're talking about the armor of God, think about the armor in this way. And the difference is it's not a belt like this. Instead, the belt is actually one that we can understand as being more of a larger and a thick and a durable strap that they would secure around their waist. The reason that the belt of truth is significant is that the rest of the armor connects to it. The breastplate connects to it. The sword is hung from it. It's sort of that part of the armor that everything else connects to. It's key for you and I to understand this today is because what it means is that you and I need to begin with the truth of God when it comes to resisting the enemy and putting on the armor of God. God's truth, I really do believe, holds everything in our lives together, and we need it now more than ever. This matters for you and I today because this is true, and you can write this in your notes. It'll be on the screen. What we believe to be true will directly influence our actions. What we believe to be true will directly influence how we treat people, how we interact with coworkers, how we navigate money, any conversation in your life. What we believe to be true influences our actions. If you don't believe me, let me tell you a story from a few years ago. The year was 2020. Anyone remember 2020? Anyone like to not remember 2020 sometimes? The year 2020, my wife and I bought our first home. And when we bought the house, we noticed that, hey, there is no washer and dryer, so we had to go buy one. And we went to a store, and we're talking with the salesman, and we ended up getting a washer and dryer that were a matching set. And if you're here and you were looking for appliances in that time, like matching sets were kind of hard to come by, so we were pretty happy about it, and we buy this washer and dryer. Now, the salesman had been telling us about some of the different features that it had, and one of them is he's like, yeah, this is one of those units where, like, all you have to do is you put, like, soap in, like, every 2 or 3 weeks, and it gives you, like, a notification on the control panel when it's time for more soap. And I was like, man, that is such a cool feature. Like, I'm going to save so much money on soap. This is going to be great. I ended up saving money on soap, but not for the right reasons. You see, what happened is a couple years down the road, not exaggerating, it was a long time, I was reading through the control manual because it was having issues. And there was a line that said, add soap for every load. The salesman had been wrong. And for a couple years, what were Joy and I doing? Oh, every 2 or 3 weeks, add some soap. Now, if you want to get up and leave right now, if you don't want to shake my hand, that's fine. I'm not offended. That's okay. Yes. Now, guys, this is my wife, Joy, is here. I do have to say, exciting thing. We're 2 years into using soap for every load. It's been a game changer. People ask me sometimes, are the stories you share true? Yes. Unfortunately, they are true. But all silliness aside, this is a rather a dumb example, right? But silliness aside, it is true that what we believed in that moment influenced how we behaved and the choices we made. And in our life today, the enemy understands that how we believe, what we believe to be true, will impact our actions. If you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, to the story of Adam and Eve, when Satan is tempting them to eat from the tree, what does he begin his temptation with? Did God really say, you must not eat from that tree? And I wonder in our life, how many ways does the enemy say to you and I, did God really say? You see, the enemy, I believe, is cunning and he's crafty, but I don't believe he's creative. It's been the same strategy for a long time that he packages differently for different time periods. For you and I today, one of the big ways in which I believe that pans out is this idea of what I would refer to as relative truth. In other words, you can have your truth, I can have my truth, and as long as our truths don't collide with each other, then we're all fine. And ultimately, where this can lead us in our world today is sort of this thing where even morality itself can become relative and objective. I share this because when we apply this to our lives today, the enemy can use a strategy like this. Hey, it says this in Scripture, But if you don't really want to follow that part of it and you just keep the main stuff, then that's okay. If you don't apply fully the word of God to your life, but at least you believe in Jesus, that's all right. Here's how this can pan out in our life, some different examples. The enemy can cause us to question, is it really wrong not to attend church? Does it really matter? Is it really wrong not to share my faith with coworkers or family when I have the opportunity to do so? To get a little bit deeper, is it really wrong to flirt with someone who isn't my spouse, as long as it doesn't go beyond that? Is it really wrong to cuss while I'm at work, as long as my family and my church family, they don't know about it, but that's just how I am during the week versus how I am here? Is it really wrong to get drunk at the end of the day to take the edge off? Is it really wrong to consume explicit music and watch inappropriate movies because it's just entertainment, right? Is it really wrong for us to blow our top and lose our cool with people who aggravate us because, man, God, if you just understood what they did or what they said, it would be okay? Is it really wrong to cut corners in my job where I shouldn't? You see, the list can go on and on for the different ways in which the enemy attacks truth. And yet, let me challenge you for a moment that there is truth, and that that truth is ultimately found in Jesus. This is how the attack of the enemy has begun for a long time. And it's one of the reasons why in 2 Corinthians 10:5, Paul says this. He says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. See, many of us would know and understand that it can be so easy to allow our thoughts to run wild, to dwell on temptation that we know we shouldn't be dwelling on, to entertain the idea of sin, to dwell on thoughts of shame regarding ourselves when it comes to things that Jesus has forgiven, when it comes to thinking negatively about other people and tearing them down with our thoughts, even if we don't say it out loud. Paul understood that how you and I think matters in our walk with Christ, because again, it influences our actions. A pastor that I respect a lot, he has some great books, a good podcast, his name is Craig Rochelle, would say it this way: your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Another way I would say this is that your life is always moving in the direction of what you believe to be true. And as followers of Jesus, man, my hope and prayer for every single person in this room is that if you believe that Jesus has saved you, that he paid the price for you, if you've given your life to a relationship with God, that that truth that has saved you and redeemed you is now impacting and influencing the direction of your life. That the longer you follow Jesus, the more your actions begin to line up with him, the scripture, and his will for you. And in order to do this, we need to be reminded of who the source of truth even is. John 14:6 says this: Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the truth. And what I believe that means for you and I today is that whatever is good and true finds its roots in Christ and in the scriptures. And that for you and I, if we have thoughts that are not rooted in truth, if we hold to beliefs that are not rooted in Jesus, then what we need to be willing to do as followers of Jesus is to stack what we believe and think up against scripture. And if it does not line up, then we need to be willing to lay it down. Jesus is the source of truth, and what we believe to be true will influence the direction of our lives. When we think about different challenges and struggles that you and I face, what does Jesus say to be true? What about when it comes to bitterness and unforgiveness that we hold on to? When it comes to this, Jesus tells us to forgive others. Not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Right? And the heart there is not that there's an actual number, but it's that as followers of Jesus, we are always striving to forgive. What about fear and anxiety? Jesus reminds us that God is our provider, that if he cares for the lilies in the field and the birds of the air and makes sure that they have food, how much more will your Father provide for you? And yet for many in this room, how easy is it for us to worry, to stress, and to forget that God is the one who provides? What about division in our relationships? Perhaps even division in the church as a whole. Jesus tells us that by this they will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, Jesus has all these different areas of our life where he speaks truth to us, where he challenges us. And at the end of the day, if we're dealing with different areas and struggles, sometimes we have to go back to the truth and say, Jesus, is the way I'm handling this stacking up with your word and what you teach? That's why the next piece of armor I believe that Paul lists out is the breastplate of righteousness. You see, the breastplate actually protects some of your most vital organs, your heart, your lungs, and if you're attacking someone in battle, like that's kind of the area you want to go for. So Paul writes, hey, the breastplate is what protects what is most important, and that is your heart. When you think about a Roman soldier's armor, again, everything else connects to this belt. And if you're going to take the armor off, the first thing that you do is what? You loosen the belt. The breastplate begins to come off when you begin to undo the belt. What this means for you and I today is that we need to make sure that when the breastplate of righteousness is on, that we understand that that means we are living in a way that reflects righteousness, that honors God. And that part of our life stays secure if we're rooted in truth. To break down the word righteousness a little bit, the Greek word for righteousness can be translated to basically understand living in right relationship with God, people, and creation. And when we think about living in right relationship with God, it means that we are living in a way that honors our relationship with him. It honors the fact that Jesus died on the cross and saved for us, and because of those things, we live in right response to a holy God. That is what it means to live in right relationship with him. It means to uphold the scriptures and apply it to our life. From this starting point, we get to living in right relationship with people. We need to be living in a way that honors and respects the image of God in others. Let that sink in for a minute. The last time you had a disagreement with your spouse, the last time you were arguing with your kids, the last time there was a disagreement with a coworker, someone cut you off in traffic, when was the last time you said, man, God, help me to remember that the image of God is just as much in that person as it is in me? You know why that matters? Because you treat someone a lot differently. When you remind yourself, man, they are just as loved and as valuable to God as I am. The final one is this, and that is to be in right relationship with creation. Simply put, that means stewarding the world and our resources that God has given us well. You see, when we put on the breastplate and we live in accordance with truth, it does require action on our part. And if you think about a literal breastplate from armor, that's not like an offensive weapon, right? You should not take that off in battle and then whack someone with it. You're using it wrong. But in order to put it on and to keep it secure, we need to live in a way that is righteous. And if we begin to slip in God's truth, if we begin to disconnect from scripture and applying it to our lives, what happens? The breastplate loosens and our actions, how we treat God, others, and the world around us begins to change. See, Paul talks about the flaming arrows of the enemy, the darts that he shoots at us. And when the breastplate loosens, we're not defended against these. Here's what those look like. One of the first ways to think about that is that one of the flaming arrows is the things that people say to or about you that hurt and they sting. How many of you have heard the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words? That is a lie, isn't it?
Yes.
For you and I today, here's where the rubber meets the road. There's going to be times in your life where people say things to you that are hurtful, and you cannot control what other people say. But it becomes a lot easier to hold your ground, to stay secure in Jesus, if you're rooted in God's truth. Why? Because if someone says something that questions your value, that tears you down, that insults you, you can anchor yourself back to who Jesus says you are. You can anchor yourself back to the fact that you were created by a loving God who has a plan and a purpose for your life. You're not defined by the words of people. You're defined by the words of your creator. When was the last time you reminded yourself of that when someone insulted you or tore you down? It doesn't mean it doesn't sting, but it does mean that you are secure and grounded in who Jesus says you are. The next way the enemy can shoot darts at us is situations that we face. I'm just as guilty with this one as anybody else. But man, sometimes it can be hard to not get stressed and anxious when life isn't going exactly as you planned. And if you've lived life for a while, you know that it's not going to go exactly as you planned. Are you with me? And yet for us, it's so easy, man, to let the enemy get in and to discourage us, to cause doubt. And yet, just like we talked about earlier, we need to remind ourselves that God is our provider, that he is the one who is in control, that he is the one who will take care of our needs even if we do not see a way ourselves. The final one is simply temptations that we face. Welcome to being human. We all have a sinful nature. We're all tempted to do things that we regret, things that would not only hurt God, they hurt ourselves and they hurt other people. That's ultimately what sin is. And the enemy understands that when he can get us to slip when it comes to living righteously, that our defenses are weakened. And yet when we choose to live righteously, to honor God with our thoughts and our actions, what ends up happening is it becomes like a snowball effect. One right decision fuels another right decision that fuels another. And eventually you're living for Jesus and there's momentum and you're moving forward. The enemy, his desire is to stop that momentum. Why? Because it means your defenses are down and he can get in and discourage and attack. So in your life, if you're discouraged, remember that Jesus is in control. If you're tempted, remember that God gives you a way out. If someone tries to tear you down, remember that you're not defined by the words of man, you're defined by the words of God. And as a result of living righteously in this way, the breastplate tightens, our defenses are stronger, and the enemy gradually loses ground. We're not fighting an enemy who has a chance to win. We're fighting an enemy who is already lost, and he knows it. And his goal is to try to drag as many of us down in the process as he can. Can I encourage you? Keep your defenses strong. Anchor yourself to truth. Have the breastplate of righteousness firmly in place. Here's what I want you to write down that sort of sums up the message today. It's this: God's truth in our hearts produces his righteousness in our lives. For us today, if we want to live in a way that honors God, if we want to treat our family, our coworkers, our kids, our friends in a way that honors God, it begins with truth. It begins with securing ourselves to the word of God, to being grounded and rooted in his word and who he says we are. So a couple ways to apply this message for you and I today. Number one, know the truth. Be a reader of scripture. When you attend on a Sunday morning, don't just sit in the seats, but maybe take a step and take some notes. Why is that important? Because it allows you to know the truth, to retain it, to understand, here's what God wants me to do as a result of what I'm reading. If you're not in a consistent habit of reading the Bible, you don't have to sit down and read the whole thing in a day. The YouVersion Bible app on your phone literally has an app, a feature, it's called Verse of the Day. And it'll give you one verse every day. It has a video devotional that comes along with it. Just start small, but start doing something. The second thing is this, and that is to not just know the truth, but live the truth. Don't just read the word, do what it says, and watch how your life and your perspective will change. And what I'm not trying to say here is that if you read the word, suddenly everything's gonna resolve, life is necessarily going to be better, you'll have no problems. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that when we have an eternal perspective, we're able to view our life and situations in a way that reflects God's truth that he says about those things we experience. Life will bring constant pressure, constant challenges, temptation, people saying negative things. The thing that is a test for you and I is when we are tested, when pressure is applied, what is it that comes out of our hearts? If you think about a tube of toothpaste, if you squeeze it, what comes out? Toothpaste, right? Dory, that's the answer, toothpaste. If you squeeze it and orange juice comes out, is that a problem? Yes, right? You should return it to the store. But I share this because Christians, we should be the same way. If God's truth is in us, if it's in our hearts, if we're knowing the truth and we're doing our best to live it, then when temptation and pressure and stress and all these things come our way, what happens is that when that pressure is applied, the love of Jesus pours out. His truth about us pours out. His hope for our life and his plan and his purpose for us is what pours out under pressure. That's not something the enemy can stand against. Why? Because Jesus is one. This matters for you and I today in a couple big ways. Number one, imagine how much your life could change if you committed to living righteously and in accordance with God's truth. But also imagine how much differently our church family and our community would look as well. We're 28 days away from grand opening, where we'll be just across this wall in a new sanctuary, new auditorium. We don't say sanctuary, my bad. That's where we'll be. And you know what's really cool about that? It's not about a building. You're like, well, there's a bigger building. I hear you. It's not about the building. What it's about is the people who are going to come to faith in Christ who aren't here yet. As we make space for people to belong and to experience the hope of Jesus. And my hope is that when people show up, what they see is that we as followers of Jesus, man, we are so rooted in God's truth that it has evidently changed the way we live and interact with the world. When people see that we're stressed, but we're keeping our heads, they say, man, I kind of want that peace that they have. When people say, hey, it seems like they have a pretty solid marriage right now. Mine is going through some struggles. Maybe there's someone I could talk to. What is it in your life that God could use to help reach other people in just a month as they show up? And even before that, in your workplace and in your family. So be anchored to truth. Strive to live righteously and watch what God can do. Amen? Amen. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you so much for your goodness. God, thank you for the opportunity you've given us to live in response to your truth. God, I pray that as we go out from this place, God, that you would give us practical applications that we can live out. Reveal to us areas where we need to be reminded and trust in your truth again. Jesus, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen.